with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus came with them to this place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over and pray." He took along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to feel sorrow and distress. Then he said to them, "My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch with me." He advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." When he returned to his disciples, he found them asleep. He said to Peter, "So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Withdrawing a second time, he prayed again, "My Father, if it is not possible that this cup pass without my drinking it, your will be done." Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open. He left them and withdrew again and prayed a third time, saying the same thing again. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand when the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. Look, my betrayer is at hand." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We've just heard the story of Jesus' agony in the garden. Jesus was at a critical point in his life. He said, "My soul is sorrowful enough to die." He prays even to avoid the coming passion and death. Yet ultimately, he tells his Father, "Not as I will, but as you will." On the Mount of the Transfiguration, which we visited some days ago, he turned his face resolutely toward Jerusalem, and he set out on this road. Now he's at the hour when the journey will reach its greatest crisis and its ultimate fulfillment. I suppose that the message for us in this today is that as we have walked this journey with Jesus, so may we continue to be faithful to our Father and to do His will, even in the face of suffering. Like the disciples, we might prefer to sleep through it. But we're called, really, to follow the example of Jesus. The death and resurrection of Jesus was interpreted for us in the first reading, according to the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53. And if we had read to the end of that chapter, we would have heard Isaiah prophesying that the Messiah would come, the servant would come, and would save the many. Put that in quotation marks, the many. We sort of become sensitive to those words, the many, because now it's used in the consecration and over the wine during the Mass. He came to bring salvation to the many. Of course, Jesus came to save all people, and all people will be saved through his name. But people can only be saved who have some connection to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior born for you at Bethlehem. The many will be saved, and if perhaps not all, since some might reject him. This church is called the Church of All Nations. And today, we on this feast of Christ the King, I think it's a good opportunity for us to pray for all nations, languages, and races of humankind, so that they might accept our Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. It's the call to holiness and salvation, the good news, and that's a universal call. We might also especially pray for peace among all nations and peace within all nations. We've all been somewhat interested in the conflicts going on here in the Middle East and the different viewpoints on those conflicts and who's to know what the right road is to peace. But certainly our prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, will help to bring that about. And so we make that one of our prayers today. We pray for that peace through our blessed and only ruler, Jesus Christ, our Lord. As we celebrate this feast of Christ the King, we're also reminded that this is the year of the end of the year of faith. Pope Benedict XVI had proclaimed a year of faith so that we can refocus our attention on our faith. And what a way to end it, by a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Now, our bishop, Michael Pfeiffer, doesn't want it really to end here. He says, now you've got to go out and put it into practice. And one of the ways that he encourages us to do so is through the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Going out and feeding the hungry and giving drink to the thirsty and educating the ignorant and so forth. When you get back home, pick up your Sunday bulletin. Perhaps you'll all be coming to Mass, those of you from St. Anne's, coming to Mass on Thanksgiving. There should still be some bulletins around. Pick those up and we'll have information in there about the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Something that you can put into practice in order to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to really bear fruit, not only from the year of faith, but I think from our pilgrimage as well. I just like to conclude with some words from the beginning of the book of Revelation, where Jesus Christ is called the faithful witness. Witness means martyr, right? The faithful witness. He stayed faithful to that role. The firstborn from the dead. Where did we hear that before? In the Church of the Nativity, Jesus is the firstborn, not just of Mary, the firstborn of the new creation. He is the ruler of the kings of earth.